argument is 23-1375, Dollar Financial Group v. Bridex Financial.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Please proceed.
I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, if it may please the Court. We're here today because the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board erred when it held as a matter of law that Dollar Financial Group, which I'll refer to as DFG, was not entitled to rely upon the Zone of National Expansion Doctrine to challenge Bridex's claim of priority, an element for which Bridex bears the burden of proof. The Board's determination that the Zone of Natural Expansion is only available when seeking to prevent another's registration.
You need to slow down and talk a little slower.
Sorry, Your Honor. The Board's determination that the Zone of Natural Expansion is only available when seeking to prevent another party's registration, and not when seeking to register one's own mark in connection with services closely related to those in its prior registration, is contrary to the weight of established precedent, the goals of the Lanham Act, and the Board's own prior decisions in this case. It would also establish two different ways of determining priority, depending upon whether the party claiming priority is in the position of plaintiff or defendant, which does not make any sense. The Board's decision was based upon its erroneous interpretation.
If we determine that payday financing and pawn shop services are not sufficiently similar, do we even have to decide the issue of whether you can use this offensive version of the Zone of Natural whatever you're calling it?
Well, I think that's the problem, Your Honor. The board never gave us the opportunity to. The board never made that factual determination. That's clearly a question of fact. I think there's substantial evidence in the record that supports the finding that those services are within the Zone of Natural Expansion. But the board never even reached that question because it held as a matter of law that the Jax Evans case established a bright line rule that a party can never rely upon the Zone of Natural Expansion to defend its registration against a cancellation by an intervening common law user.
Can I just follow up for a minute on your assertion about substantial evidence? Substantial evidence that it would be of being within the Zone of Natural Expansion. And the reason I just paused to frame it more generally is that if I look at, you have this bullet point list, I think it's 40 to 41 of your blue brief.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me there is a apparent asymmetry in the following sense.
Okay.
If not every item, virtually every item is about a pawn shop moving into the payday financing because actually it's doing a bunch of, handing out money and then collecting.
Mm-hmm.
There's essentially nothing, or hardly anything, in the other direction, where a payday lending company moves into the pawn shop business, which has a whole component that the payday lending has never been doing, namely figuring out what to do with physical items and how to price them and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just address this asymmetry in the evidence to me.
That's an interesting point, Your Honor. I think really the question of its own of national expansion is whether consumers will expect both types of services to come from the same source.
I'm not sure that's the only question.
I think that's the primary question. I mean, if you look at the...
But you included this material to show that a lot of companies have expanded in this way, and it seems to me, I guess, to put it most confrontationally, is not so. Maybe a lot of pawnbrokers have expanded into the payday lending, but you don't have any real evidence in the other direction.
I think I understand your question. I respect your question, but you know, we would argue that the question is whether, for the purposes of the zone of natural expansion, is whether consumers would expect both types of services to come from the same source. And for purposes of that question, we think it's, you know, not really relevant whether it's pawn shops expanding into check cashing and payday loan services or check cashing and payday loan shops expanding into pawn services. Consumers are still likely to see these both types of services offered by the same stores using the same mark, and they're therefore likely to assume when they see a company offering they're likely to associate the mark with the same types of services. I don't think it really makes a difference whether it's going from A to B or B to A, Your Honor.
Okay.
But getting back to the Jax Evans case, the board interpreted that case in our decision as establishing a bright line rule that a party seeking to register its mark or defend its registration can never rely upon the zone of natural expansion. And that's not what the court said in Jax Evans. The priority was not in dispute in that case because the opposer was relying upon prior registrations at which the applicant did not seek to cancel. And that's much different than our case where the petitioner, Bridex, is relying upon common law rights and therefore Bridex has a burden of proving priority. Furthermore, in the Jax Evans case, the court found that the products in the applicant's later application were...
That, and that's the case that said it's purely defensive.
Correct. And they didn't really explain what was meant by defensive versus offensive. We would argue that in this case we are using the doctrine defensively because, as I said, Bridex has the burden of proof for proving priority, and we're using the doctrine to defend it against an element for which Bridex has the burden of proof. But furthermore, in the Jax Evans case, the court found that the products in the later application were substantially different from those in the prior registration, which is why the doctrine did not apply there. The board correctly interpreted Jax Evans in the Mason Engineering case, which is the case in which they established the four-factor test for determining the zone of natural expansion. In the Mason Engineering involved the exact same situation here. The applicant was seeking to register the identical mark in connection with services which it claimed were within the zone of natural expansion of the services in its prior registration, and the application was opposed by an intervening common law user. And the board in that case cited Jax Evans, showing that they were well aware of the case, but they correctly interpreted it as stating that the prior user cannot rely upon the zone of natural expansion for distinctly different goods. The board in that case did not interpret Jax Evans as holding that an applicant can never rely upon the doctrine to defend its later application or registration against an intervening common law user.
Would that version and trigger what Judge Hughes was asking about before, which is that if we conclude that it is clear these are distinctly different, then, in fact, in that circumstance, no natural expansion?
I think in that case the board would have to apply the four-factor test to determine whether the products were within the zone of natural expansion. I think the zone of natural expansion is kind of a refinement of that question of whether or not the products are distinctly different. And it's kind of a framework that the board came up with to analyze that question. And it really looks at the consumer perception based upon these four factors. Whether there are companies that have expanded from one area to the other, whether they involve the same area of know-how, technological capabilities, whether the channels of trade and the targeting consumers are identical and so on. And we believe that the evidence of record clearly establishes that all four of those factors would favor our DFG if the board would apply those factors. Another problem with the board's decision is that it's contrary to the policies underlying the Lanham Act, which is intended to encourage and reward federal registration. The board's reasoning in our case would have the opposite effect, because it essentially places a party claiming common law rights, Britex, over the interests of a party claiming registration. For example, to take a hypothetical situation, if Britex had sought to register its Money Mart pawn mark for pawn services, Dollar Financial Group would have been able to petition for cancellation of the registration, and it would have been able to rely upon the zone of natural expansion doctrine in that case. And assuming, assuming for purposes of argument, that the board found that the zone of natural expansion did apply, Dollar Financial Group would then be successful in petitioning for cancellation of that registration. But Dollar Financial Group may not be able to register its own mark for pawn services because it will not be able to rely upon that zone of natural expansion doctrine to defend its own right to registration. So in that case, neither party would be able to have a registration for its mark for pawn services, which doesn't really make any sense.
Can I ask this question? A registration provides rights across the country, right?
Correct.
A common law trademark?
A common law only provides rights in the geographic area in which they...
Right, and I mean, one of the things that's striking about this case mm-hmm. is that Dollar... The pawn shop company...
Oh, Britex, yeah.
Britex, okay. Yeah, is, at least, if I remember right, local.
Yeah, limited to Houston and San Antonio.
And Dollar is national. Why would that not just... The geographic disparity mm-hmm. Between what a registration does and what common law does, why doesn't that actually make sense in some circumstances, of which this one might be an illustration for exactly the reason that you don't want to do registrations because that applies nationally and it might do a bad thing to a local company that in fact has priority.
So you're saying that it would be a bad thing for Britex to obtain?
You said there's a policy of registration.
Right.
And I want to push back, I guess, a little bit to say, well, maybe, and you said we're leaving to common law,
right.
Why would you do that? Well, I was just suggesting maybe there's a reason for saying common law trademark rights would be a better fit for a circumstance like this than a registration scheme precisely because it allows for... different effects in different geographies.
Well, I would respectfully argue that it's even if it's within a limited geographic area, there's benefits that flow from federal registration, and there's lots of examples. Lots of clients of ours, for example, only have stores within a particular state or within a particular geographic area, and we still encourage them to register their marks because that provides many benefits, provide certain presumptions in litigation. And so on. So, to the extent that you're arguing that common law rights are maybe a better fit for a smaller company or a company that's limited to a geographic area, I would respectfully disagree with that. I think the presumptions afforded by a federal registration outweigh the interest that you mentioned. And I will mention also that the Lanham Act does provide for protections for companies that are using the mark within a geographic area, specifically the right to seek a concurrent use registration, which Britex did not do here. I'm running low on time, so I think I've kind of explained our...
Yeah, you are into your rebuttal.
So. Oh, I am? Okay, excuse me, so... But before I go, I would just like to also note that we would argue that even in the event that the court determines that the board correctly applied the zone of natural expansion and in refusing to allow the zone of natural expansion, that the court should still remand to the board to consider tacking in light of the court's recent decision in the Apple versus Bertini case. So, thank you.
Thank you. May it please the court. I think I'd like to start off with the standard for the zone of natural expansion and how we believe DFG is misapplying it. The zone of natural expansion in trademark law typically is, and to my knowledge, is solely used to compare the goods sought or services sought by the applicant in the application and the goods and services of the opposer. What the extension that DFG is suggesting to the zone of natural expansion is, no, let's look at the goods that we applied for in these registrations and look at our own prior registration and those goods to get the data priority. That is not the relevant inquiry. The relevant inquiry is the goods applied for in the application compared to the goods of the opposer. The reason that there is this...
I think I'm not quite following. So there's a pawnbroking, pawn services are one of the good services in the current application.
Correct.
You don't need to do a lot of comparison to ask if the opposer's services, pawnbroking, are within the zone of natural expansion.
What I'm saying is they are using the zone of natural expansion between their own loan financing and pawn services to try to obtain priority back to 1984. And that's not the relevant inquiry. It's not a comparison of their later registrations to their earlier. The reason for that is...
What is the correct comparison?
The correct comparison, if the zone of natural expansion were to apply here, would be to compare the goods in their current registrations, their services, including pawn services, to our pawn services. Okay?
And they're the same.
And they're the same. But the problem with that...
So just to understand, that's why you say this circumstance can't involve the zone of natural expansion test.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's why I believe it's not applicable. And the reason behind this is that if you allow a registrant to obtain a later registration for unrelated goods and services based on the earlier registration, and they haven't built up a lot of goodwill in that new area, you're essentially granting that registrant trademark rights and gross with no goodwill. And it ignores a situation that we have here where Britex has over 30 years of common law use. You would essentially be cutting off the use by Britex. And in the trademark system in the United States, we base our trademark rights, common law or registered, based off use. And so cutting off that intervening use is not really what the zone of natural expansion was designed to do. And that's why we don't believe that that it applies.
And do you think that what you just articulated is what is underlying the, what's the name of the case, Jack something?
Jack Evans, yes.
Jack Evans.
As a matter of fact, the board in Jack Evans mentioned that this problem of granting trademark rights and gross when, you know, a prior registrant seeks to enter a new area and there's an intervening user in between.
What would happen in this case if Britex did come in and try to actually register its mark rather than just rely on its common law mark, and then DSG then used its prior payday lending mark registration to argue zone of natural expansion? That would be, that sounds more along the lines of what the proper use would be, is they're relying on their mark and saying the later filed registration is within the zone of natural expansion. How, even though you have a prior common law mark, how do you think that would play out?
Today, because we started in 1993, I think there's been coexistence for so long that I don't know that that zone of natural expansion would outweigh the fact that we've coexisted for so long. So I think that there are certainly arguments that we could make to overcome the argument on the zone of natural expansion, but it would be available for DFG to argue.
Okay. And I
think the other point that I wanted to bring...
So there's a bit... Sorry, I'm... Trademark law, we don't see a lot of these, so I'm not as nimble. But so even if legally it was available, there are still arguments to be had that you shouldn't use it in this instance. Even if you assume that the payday lending would naturally extend into pawn services, there's still some basis for you to still get a registration, even if they could show a natural. And what kind of, what's the legal basis for that?
Well, I think that there are certain elements of the DuPont factors, and the main one coming to mind is the coexistence in the marketplace for so long.
So no likelihood of confusion.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be the basis. The other argument of DFG that Vertex kind of finds a little bit troubling is this philosophy.
Just to be clear, that kind of argument might be in some tension with the likelihood of confusion finding here.
I didn't.
But you have and are defending the board's finding that if the other side got into this business with their mark, there would be a likelihood of confusion with you being in this business with that.
Right. Well, in this case, the board granted the Section 18 defense of DFG, which means all that was canceled out of those registrations was the pawn services. When that happened, I think the reality is the likelihood of confusion analysis is pawn services to pawn services. Okay. Using the doctrine to relate back in the scenario that Vertex files for a registration, and DFG argues that the zone of natural expansion with regard to their loan financing, that's where the defense that the arguments that we may have on likelihood of confusion and coexisting in the marketplace with regard to their loan financing versus our pawn services comes in.
Okay.
The other argument of DFG's that we find somewhat troubling is this philosophical argument that the Lanham Act encourages registration and favors registration over common law. From a practical standpoint, the argument is troubling in that, again, we base trademark rights, whether registered or not, based on use. Okay, and in order for DFG to prevail in that argument, the effect of that essentially is that it would grant trademark rights to based on registration and cut off rights based on use, based on our use. And that's not really what the trademark system was designed to do.
We're not going to decide that here in the context of this case, right? I mean, we don't do policy.
No, I don't believe we do. I thought it was worth pointing out as a philosophical matter. It's scary, I guess, is the point that I'm making here. So, board, that's really the arguments I had for today. Are there any other questions that you have?
There's not.
Okay. Thank you.
Your Honors, we would just respectfully disagree with Mr. McRae's explanation of the zone of natural expansion test. I think as the court pointed out, it doesn't really make any sense to compare the services in the app or the registrant's registration to the services in the opposer's registration. That's the purpose of the likely confusion test, not the zone of natural expansion test. The whole purpose of the zone of natural expansion test is to allow an applicant or registrant to rely upon its prior registration or its prior common law use over an intervening user when those services, when the original services, excuse me, when the later services are within the zone of natural expansion of the original services. And that's based on the principle that the first use, I'm going to quote from the Mason Engineering test, the principle that the first use of a mark in connection with particular goods or services possesses superior rights in the mark, not only in connection with those goods or services, but also against subsequent users of the same or similar mark for any goods or services which purchasers might reasonably expect to emanate from it in the normal expansion of its business under the mark. And that's the rationale underlying the zone of natural expansion test, and it's also the rationale underlying this court's recent opinion in the Apple versus Bertini case, which was decided after the board's decision in this case. In the Apple versus Bertini case, the court said that the owner of a mark could apply tacking to tack on its earlier mark in early registration in connection with services that might be slightly different from those in the later application registration when those services are within the normal course of evolution of the original services such that consumers would expect them to emanate from the same source. So that's quite similar.
I don't think we said that that is a sufficient condition, only that it sometimes is a circumstance in which tacking would be permitted.
That's true, Your Honor. But we believe this is one of those cases where it should be permitted.
And Apple lost that case.
Apple did lose that case, but I think the jump from they were trying to jump from goods to services, from jazz records to musical services, and that's quite a bit different than our case where we're jumping from one type of financial services offered to a specific type of consumer to another type of service offered to that type of consumer. I'd just like to point out one final matter in connection with the sort of question you asked earlier about expanding from A to B or B to A. The evidence in the portion you cited of our appellate brief was just kind of a summary of our evidence. We do have a lot more evidence that was not cited in there, some of which shows, I would agree that the majority shows pawn services expanding to check cashing and payday loan, but we do have some examples also of payday loan stores expanding into pawn services. And I think that's another reason why this court needs to remand to the board for a full consideration of the factual record. So thank you very much, Your Honor.
We thank both sides. The case is submitted.